Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Buckle up, strap in. This is podcast number 24. My name is Andrew McCauley. I am excited to be bringing this podcast to you. And of course, I couldn't do without the ever so busy, the super popular, the much in demand Heather Porter. Hey, Heather.
Hello. Yes, that would be me. And again, I always have to say, what are you talking about? Because I think the same about you, Mr. Speaker on the stage, who just literally did a presentation today.
I'm in between presentations right now. I've got one tomorrow morning, just did one now, and who knows what I'll have by the next week. But welcome. I'm excited to do another podcast with you, and we are going to continue our series that we've been running for a few weeks now. It's all about the stats and the important stuff that no one likes, numbers and number crunching and that sort of stuff. So we'll try and make it as fun as possible. And today we're going to talk about the time that's spent on your site. What sort of time does people spend on your site and why is that important and all of that sort of stuff. But first, before we do that, Heychi, what have you been up to this week, or what have you learned since we had our last podcast? What's been the number one thing that you said, wow, that was pretty cool?
You know what? For those of you guys that are just tuning in, this is something that we've just started in the last few episodes. And the reason why is because we are so busy, and it's our moment to sort of say, wow, this is cool that we're in business together, because Andrew and I get to share what we have learned for the week. So the question is, what have I learned this week? This week for me has been a week of meetings, essentially, with clients. And what the biggest thing I've learned this week, and it's quite obvious, but at the same time, I think people can get carried away, is when you're in a meeting with a client or anybody in your business as well, action things on the fly. Do it right there in that moment, because if you don't, chances are you will not ever get it done. So what I was doing yesterday is with the client, we were creating a new email funnel. And the whole meeting was going to be about brainstorming the new positioning of the company, the new opt-in form, how are we going to get people in, what's the communication going to look like. And I took out a pen and a paper and I said, we're going to create these right now. And he's like, oh, God, this is overwhelming, overwhelming. But by the end of the meeting, we had an entire new funnel written. So when you do a meeting, don't just do a meeting for the sake of doing a meeting. Do it to actually create something in that moment. And then suddenly you're not wasting time.
I love it. I love it. I know you and I do a lot of that sort of stuff on the go. It's
always.
Let's not talk about it. Let's just do it. And I guess that's part of the reason why we get so much done, and we are busy, but we get a lot of things done, is because we just, you know, just do it. Otherwise, we'll talk about it, and my brain's like a sieve. Sometimes I'll forget what we just spoke about, and it won't get done. So get it out and get it done. That's cool.
We live off the whole thing of there is no such thing as perfection. There just simply cannot be on the internet, because it just moves so fast. So you've got to move fast. If you have an idea, just do it. And actually, I mean, part of what we're doing for our clients too is this whole sort of coach and action thing that we're implementing, where we just jump on a call. We go, what do you guys need? What are we going to talk about? Let's implement that strategy and let's make the calls right here in this very moment to move forward with it. Yeah. Because it is important and powerful. But what about you? What have you, what's the thing you learned?
Well, I'll tell you what I did learn. I was thinking about this question, and I sort of realized, and I'll give you an example of what happened, but I realized how small this world really is, but also how connected and how easy it is to connect to people of influence. You know, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, it doesn't matter who you are, there is pretty much, it's almost, you know, open doors to so many people now, because there are so many avenues to reach the right people. And I'll give you an example. What brought this home for me was, as you know, we've got a magazine that we publish called Online Footprint on the Apple stand, and now also on Google. Mm-hmm. Small quick plug. But I was looking for somebody to contribute an article about Facebook, And I thought, you know, who can I use to contribute to the next article that's coming out next month? And I thought, let me go and find out who's got the best, the number one selling book on Amazon. So I went to Amazon and I checked it out. And it was by a guy that I'd never heard of before, and I didn't know who he was, but it was the number one book according to Amazon that was the best result for Facebook. So I checked out who he was. I thought, I'll go and find him on Facebook. He's bound to be on Facebook if he's writing about Facebook. And sure enough, he was there, and I connected with him. I just sent him a message and said, hey, I've got a magazine. I'd love to connect with you. Within an hour, this guy wrote back and said, hey, I'd love to find out a little bit more about your magazine. So under an hour and a half, so within that short time frame, we said, let's get on Skype. Here's my details. In an hour and a half, I got on a phone call to a guy that's written the number one best-selling book for Facebook and got him to contribute an article for our magazine, all within an hour and a half of thinking about that concept.
Speaking of moving fast.
Yeah, really. Really. So, this is not an isolated case. You know, the top 20, or actually I think it's the top 50, Forbes have just released the top 50 social media influencers in the world, top 50 in the world. And we've already got a number of those people who contribute to our magazine, but you know, I didn't know any of those people before the magazine happened. And a magazine is a great roads in, but I was able to connect with these people first before we even had our first magazine issue out. And it really wasn't that hard to connect to these people either. You know, if I'm looking for the right person, if you know who you're looking for, there are now so many avenues to go and connect with somebody, whether it's one of their social sites, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or even their contact page on their own website. You'll be amazed at what sort of connections you can get to the people in your industry that are supposedly the gurus, but are willing to talk to people because of the knowledge that they have. And I think that was the biggest learning for me, is that, you know what, everyone's pretty much contactable these days. It's just amazing.
I love it. You know what, we're all people, you know, we're all looking for projects and things that we're excited about to work on. So don't ever underestimate the power that you guys have and of your product and service and how it can help others and who can get involved and use those social media tools. We all, you know, we're all out there hanging out and connect with us. So
yeah, and you know, I learned something. Someone told me, it was recently, maybe a year ago, but you know, these people who are out there who have written a book, they've got the number one, the most social influenceable person in the world or whatever they are. They just want their message heard. And if you can offer them a platform to get out there, 95% of them will happily help you and say, I'd love to give you some content or do an interview with you or whatever it may be. There's 5% that have this ego problem, and you don't need to worry about those. But you know, if they don't say yes, just move on and get somebody else. But there's always plenty of fish in the sea.
Absolutely.
And I just think it's such an open world right now. Use it while you can. You're in a perfect position to go and do that.
I like that. Well,
there's half our podcast gone and we haven't even spoken about our topic yet.
We haven't spoken. Okay, so bringing it back, we're talking again. This is episode number 24 and we're talking about how to increase average time spent on a website. And by the way, if you want to know why we're talking about these stats and what's important for you guys and why you need to know about it, go all the way back to number 19. That's our initial Cool Stats for Cool People episode where we actually talk about all the numbers that you need to be aware of in your marketing.
Yes.
So let's get started. Why would somebody need to increase the average time spent on their website? What's important about that?
Well, do you want me to start?
Yeah, you start. Tell me.
One of the things, there's two reasons that I see, and you probably got a couple more. But firstly, you want people to be looking at your site as a place of interest. That they go there, they're going to find out relevant information, content, unique content that's something that they haven't seen anywhere else before, and information that is going to excite them to want to, A, think of you as a thought leader in your industry, but also to find out more about what you do and ultimately come and buy your product or service or engage you in some sort of monetary transaction down the track. The other important thing is that Google now also look at the average time spent on your website. And if you look at your Google Analytics, you'll see that called the average visit duration. So how long do people spend on a visit to your site? And they will use that as part of their algorithm of whether a site is good or not. So if you've got a site that has an average visit duration of 12 seconds, it tells Google that people are getting on this site and looking at it going, I'm not too interested in it. Off they shoot. But if you've got a website that has an average visit duration of 2 or 3 minutes, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually is on average very good, then Google say, hey, these people have got a good site. They're keeping people engaged on an average of 2 to 3 minutes, which is just pretty amazing.
Yeah. So basically, if you go to Google and you type in, Chinese food restaurants, for example, in your area, the website that will have people hanging out on that for the longest amount of time will pop up the most. It'll pop up above any other ones that have less amount of time spent, because what it's just saying is that this site, like you said, Andrew, has relevant content, it has good content, and it's delivering what it's promising, you know, it's in its topic. So that's why it's so ultimately important. It's not only ultimately important for you to get traffic coming in from your search engine results, but also to position yourself as that thought leader and as the hub of information. It's a place where people want to come, they want to hang out for a little while.
Yeah.
So what I love about this is that we have come up with a really cool little list of things that you guys can do to improve how much time or how long people actually spend on your website. And we're going to share those with you today.
Now, before we do that, I know I mentioned this on the end of our last podcast, that I'm going to dig up and I'll find out some stats about what are the best sites that are out there. What are the sites that people are spending most time on? And I found some surprising results, so I just want to share those with you before we start, because people will be thinking, wow, you know, I've only got a site that's got 2 or 3 minutes of average time. That's a very, very good result. That's a very good result. But here's the findings. The number one site that's out there, and I don't think this is going to surprise anybody, is Facebook. They have an average of 6 hours and 45 minutes every month. That's the average time spent on that site. Now, remember, there's a billion people out there using Facebook, right? So an average of the billion people is 6 hours and 45 minutes every single month that people spend on Facebook, which is just pretty phenomenal, right?
That's amazing.
And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you another part of that that's amazing. Mobile, cell phones, smartphones accounts for 30 minutes per day. People averaging accessing Facebook, the people that access Facebook on their mobile, it's an average of 30 minutes a day.
And I'm not surprised, because we've always said by 2015, everyone's going to be on mobile devices more than they are on laptops or desktops. So that's no surprise, but isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So the number two and number three, there's a tied spot for number two and number three. I bet you can't guess which ones they are.
I'm thinking YouTube.
Nope.
No, really? No.
YouTube isn't even rated in the top five, actually, on average time visit. So Tumblr and
really
Tumblr and Pinterest.
Pinterest, okay, yeah, I'm not surprised about
Tumblr
that.
Tumblr and Pinterest, 1.5 hours per month average.
See, that's interesting, because I know we recently wrote an article about Tumblr on our AYB blog about that, but I had no idea it was actually had reached that momentum at this point. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Number four, can you guess what number four is? Little birdie.
Twitter.
So it goes 6.75 hours for Facebook a month, 1.5 hours for Tumblr and Pinterest, and then down to Twitter at 21 minutes a month average. The next one after Twitter is LinkedIn at 17 minutes, and then Google Plus at a whopping 3 minutes.
Now, if that right there, those statistics don't prove how ultimately important it is to have your social media accounts in order, I don't know what does. That's incredible.
So it's pretty interesting. Now, you know what? Actually, they were the social sites straight off. Let me tell you about YouTube. Actually, YouTube is 3 hours a month. Okay. YouTube is up there in 3 hours. So, as far as they were the social sites, as far as overall sites, YouTube is 3 hours.
Okay.
Hulu is 2.5 hours. One other site that's interesting that I didn't know was Netflix over here in the US. Netflix. This is a US. By the way, this is US results. Netflix is 10 hours.
Even stranger, just people looking for movies and stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. So what's interesting about this is what we're going to share with you guys. A lot of these pointers are what these sites that Andrew just talked about are already using. So it's, you know, makes sense that you can bring some of these elements into your own website and why you would want to. So let's get started. So here's some ways that you guys can improve your websites in order to keep people hanging out on them a little bit longer. And the very first one that I'll bring up is using video. So what this means is that you basically, the easiest way to use video is to create a video, put it on your YouTube channel, and then embed the video on directly on your website, and using it in blog posts, articles, on your homepage, any pages that you can get your hands on your website where it would make sense to put a video, is a perfect way for people to hang out longer on your website.
Mm-hmm. Videos are awesome. And just on that about video length and stuff, I don't know if this is going to fit into this part of it, but the ideal length of a video these days, what is that?
Well, the information that I looked at with YouTube analytics is that sort of around the 3-minute mark, people start to drop off of your video.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 minutes is where you really want to have all your juicy, best information. And you're lucky if you're going to hang out longer than that. 5 minutes is another drop-off point. So shorter the better, ultimately. But 3 minutes, ideal, right? Because what we're talking about here is if you can get somebody to hang out on your website for 2 or 3 minutes, it's going to look incredible to Google. So if you do have a few minutes of video, you've just done your job right there.
Exactly. And that's why I asked that question, because, you know, people get, sometimes they get hung up thinking, oh, I need to have a 10-minute video on my website. You don't, because people they'll drop off quicker if it's longer and they see it's long. If it's short, succinct, and to the point, people will watch it all the way through, which is going to increase your time on site.
And also your efforts, because you want them to ultimately come to the end of your video where the call to action is, or whatever you're asking them to do next with you. So that's important.
Cool. Okay, what else?
What else? Photo galleries. So that's the whole, you know, we're talking about Tumblr and various things. Photo and even Facebook and Pinterest, right? They're all heavily based on photos. Mm-hmm. So if you can put your own photo gallery inside of your website, it'll mean that people want to hang around and sort of surf through that gallery and see what else is going on with you.
Is that a complex thing to do?
Look, no, I mean, I know there's plugins that can pull across your photo galleries from various social sites straight off the bat. So you can actually put, you would upload your photos somewhere else, like say Instagram, and then you can embed them directly into your website. And so people are watching them from within your website.
Wow. Awesome.
So it saves a lot of time as well. So you have your photos in one place, but you're embedding them throughout your website.
Yeah, so now that would be an automated system where you've uploaded them once at Instagram and they get automatically pulled through when you're ready.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
So very cool little tool. And you can use those in your sidebars of your website. You can even have a photo page where you put your galleries there as well. Next up, and I like this one quite a bit, is, you know, we're always talking about the importance of content and fresh content, and obviously blogging is important, and that's a big part of doing that. But there's a couple of techniques that you can do within your blog post to actually keep people there longer, and one of them is to actually write a blog series. So you're actually almost doing like an ongoing series of tutorials where you're connecting one blog post to the next blog post to learn more. I've seen this done on Copy Blogger, where he's done a whole series on how to write good headlines. And what I loved about that is he had one page where he had 10 different articles saying, essentially like a table of contents, here's all the articles that you can learn about. And instead of having it all in one huge, massive blog post where people could tend to get overwhelmed and click off, he has the bits and pieces all separated into 10 different posts, all interlinked. So what does that do? Somebody's going to come in and go, oh, that looks really cool, I'm going to learn about that. Oh, now I need to learn about this. And they start clicking around the site looking for different content within that blog series.
It's a very good idea, and I think we're doing something very similar with our automated series on our website too, right?
Yes, we are. We are. We also have, we're doing on landingpageautopilot.com where we have a whole, I think it's 11 different tutorials where they're all interlinked and you're just, you go from one to the other based on what you want to learn, which is why we have such a big hangout time on that particular website as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's that one. Continuing on the blog topic as well, there's, if you're using WordPress, there's a great plugin that you can use it's called YARP, actually, Y-A-R-P, I believe. It's yet another related blog post, related post. Mm-hmm. What that means is that the system is smart enough to say, oh, this article that you just wrote is very similar to these other articles that you just wrote. So it actually pulls through suggested reading or other posts at the bottom of each of your blog posts. So when the reader gets down to the bottom of your post and then the system's saying, hey, we also recommend you read these because they're similar, mm-hmm. What a great automation tool. You don't even have to think about it because it's already doing it for you.
Wow, I've seen that a lot in some of those popular blog posts, and I've always wondered, wow, do they go through and they check their list of previous posts and do they go and come up with some sort of list and they stick it there? Or how else do they do it? So that's how they do it. YARP is the plugin, right?
That's YARP. Right. It's absolutely brilliant. We'll put the link like we always do at the bottom of this podcast on autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. So we'll stick it there and also on our resource page there.
YARP is my new best friend. Thank you.
It is. It is. It is. I use it. I love it. It basically pulls through. It does the suggestions based on your tags or keywords or categories. Mm-hmm. And that's how it does it. So it's great. Love it. Love it. Love it. Automatically get that in there straight away because it's going to improve people cruising through your site, checking out what you have to offer.
Autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcasts. We'll check out the resources page there and you'll get that. Actually, we'll put it on the blog post. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, no, yeah, under this podcast as well. So that's the blogs. I guess that we have blog series and we have the related posts that you can do within your articles. Just doing those two things, you're going to get people hanging out within your blog area more.
Awesome.
What else?
On this, by the way, one of the things you want to do is check your Google Analytics first before you do anything.
Yes.
Check your Google Analytics and just have a look at how much time are people currently spending on your site, and then keep a track of that. And as you change and add these little bits and pieces, look at that time change. And if you're seeing an increase in time spent, then you're doing the right thing. If you're not, then maybe you've done something wrong.
Good point. And again, where you find that, I know you briefly touched on this earlier, but you just go into your analytics account and then in analytics down the left side menu, there's an area in there that says audience. You want to click on audience and then overview and you'll see average visit duration and bounce rate. You'll see two little stats inside that area that tell you that. Bounce rate, if it's lower, it just means people are hanging out on your site longer. And average visit duration, of course, is an average of all your visitors' time spent on your website. So that's where you go and check that out.
Love it. All right. Anything next else on blog series or are we up to the next bit?
No, I think we're good. Let's go on to the next
okay.
bit. There's a little bit about the sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the sidebar.
Sidebar. Providing you've got a sidebar, right? Because not all websites have a sidebar.
That's correct. So you could also use the modules. Like I know a lot of new websites on the homepage especially are using different little modules or little boxes or little chunks of content mm-hmm. that are put throughout the homepage. So similar sort of thing, I guess.
Okay, so how do we increase time on site with sidebar content?
The idea is that you use these to take your visitor down a journey, down a little wormhole or a rabbit hole, so to speak.
A bit like Facebook, so, really, right?
A bit like Facebook. You got it. So what is a cool thing you can do here? So basically, in the sidebar, you can put popular posts, you can put recent comments, you can put anything for social proof around what you're doing. So people are reading what other people are commenting on your post. They're also checking out popular, because obviously social proof is very powerful online. So if you're actually saying, these are my most popular posts, don't you think your little curiosity is going to kick in and you're going to think, well, why? Why are they the most popular posts I've got to see? You know, I'm going to click on those and find out why and I want to know more about them.
Could you put little videos like testimonials and stuff?
Oh, we do that all the time. Yeah, you can do testimonial videos, mm-hmm. little info videos. Another cool thing that works really well is it's a great place for you to highlight your best content, and you can actually do little graphics that link into your personal favorite blog posts or pages on your website that you think are the most important.
So would you see that like a you know, some sites will say editor's choice or editor's pick.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Those little graphics that are linking to a particular page that they just want to highlight and get more traffic to?
Exactly. And a great way to use that would be do a page that has a video on it, that has something that you're going to teach that's incredible, and then highlight that in your sidebar saying, my number one most successful business tip, or the number one thing you should never say in fill in the blank, you know, that makes sense for your business.
Uh-huh.
If you see that, you're going to go, wow, what is that? You're going to go onto the page, and then suddenly you're seeing a video, and you can't get to the answer until you actually push play on the video and watch the video for a while.
Cool.
So it's a really cool little, you know, tactic that you can use because you're ultimately using the video concept, but you're also using the sidebar concept to get people into that page.
Two concepts in one.
In one.
Love it. Love it.
Yes.
All right, anything else on sidebar?
No, just think strategically on what you can do to keep them in your website. One, you know, actually you did bring up a little bit of a question. We are into frame of thought around this, the whole Facebook like bar, because if you start to put too much stuff in your sidebar where people can actually go and click off of your website, you don't want that to happen. You actually want them to stay in your website. So think strategically about what you put so people are not enticed to actually click away, but they're actually hanging out inside of your website instead.
Yeah, it's you're right. We've had a bit of a debate about this. But it wasn't a debate. It was more of a discussion about some of the more very clever marketers are now saying that all of those social icons are detracting from your time on site because people are clicking on them wanting to go and see what your Facebook page is like or your Twitter account or your Pinterest account. And it's detracting from the time on site, which then affects Google's algorithm to show how much time people are spending on site. So some of these people are taking those options off. All leads... from those social sites are all leading back to the website, but there is no going back out the other way. So it's one of those things we're keeping a close eye on to see what sort of results that we've got. And we're testing a few sites at the moment doing that just to see what sort of things are coming up. So we'll keep you posted as we find out more.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess that's really the ultimate thing with the sidebars. Think about how you're controlling where you want the user to go, but most importantly, you're controlling their visit by sending them to pages that have more content or videos or things where they're going to hang out with you for a while.
Yes.
Now, what are some other things that you can put on your site that allow people to hang out for a while? So we've already talked about video, but you can also use audio. So for those of you that have podcasts like ourselves, we highly recommend embedding a podcast player directly on your site. So you're not sending people to iTunes. You're giving that as an option, of course, for them to subscribe, but you're actually allowing them to hang out in your website and play your episode directly using an audio player.
Yes, very good. It's very good. Now, as you said, there is an option to download that usually.
Yes.
And you can download the audio to your MP3 player or whatever it is. Or you can link it to iTunes. Once again, you're going off the site. But giving the ability for people just to play it inside the site is going to let you have a bigger average time on site.
Yeah, because then they're able to sample it as well when they first come on and see if something that they liked as well.
Correct.
So that's a good little pointer. I like this one that you came across, the whole concept of using polls and quizzes on your site. So how would that work? Let's I guess do a little bit of a scenario. So let's think of a business. Chiropractor.
Yep.
Okay, so you're a visitor on a chiropractor site. You come onto the homepage. How might you be able to use a poll or a quiz to keep them engaged?
Well, one of the things is you may have a series of three or four questions that is just a generic questions to find out what's going on. But if it's a question or a poll about what would a good chiropractor's office have in it? And you might give three options. It might have a coffee station, a drink fountain, comfortable chairs sort of thing. Which one is the most important? And the next one might be, when you visit the chiropractor, do you think it's acceptable to wait 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes? Sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So you're asking questions that people have got to sit there and think about. You know, even if it's just adding another 30 seconds to the time on your site, it's going 30 seconds is a long time that Google will look at it and go, hey, this is pretty cool. They've increased their time on site to plus 30 seconds.
You know, and I came across a site actually yesterday that uses this, and it was, I don't know the URL off the top of my head, but if you Google pay yourself first challenge, mm-hmm. it's the very first one that comes up. And what it is it's actually, when you go in there, you click on a button right up at the start of the, you know, front center, top right, that says start now. And it's literally taking you through a calculator, which is, it's a poll, but each page is a calculator. So it says, how much do you spend on coffee every day? And then you basically answer that question, and next page it gives another, you know, thing, how much do you waste here? Mm-hmm. So a few questions in, you're already very intrigued. You're thinking, well, how much am I wasting? You know, how much am I wasting? I want to keep going into this little funnel of what they're doing to find out more. So a very good little thing that they did is that was actually their opt-in. They actually created that as part of their opt-in experience when you go there. They're not only keeping you on the site longer, which is great for Google, but they're also giving you a great deal of value because you're getting an actual customized figure as part of your opt-in experience.
Very cool. Very cool. Love it. I love it.
Yeah, it was a good one. Excellent. So that's polls and quizzes. Think about how you can use those. I've seen those used in sidebars as well. You mm-hmm. can get, like, I think Poll Daddy or SurveyMonkey now allow you to embed little mini polls inside your site, so you can have little questions right there inside your site for people to answer.
PollDaddy.com?
Yeah, PollDaddy.com.
And SurveyMonkey.com.
That's right.
Awesome.
Great little tools. And they're free, so we love them.
We love free.
Here's another one. So let's go into forums.
Uh-huh.
So what a forum is, what's a forum in your opinion?
A forum is somewhere where you can have a community of people that are interested in whatever topic, but they're communicating backwards and forwards about a topic. And you can have different topics for different parts of your community. You may have a specific topic and then people interact with that topic. You may have another subtopic on that initial topic. But what it is basically people in there interacting with each other, talking about what it is that they're talking about. It's a great way to keep people on a site, keeps them longer there because they're in the community talking to each other and backwards and forwards. And they're developing, you know, a relationship with, I mean, this is the great thing about a community is that you don't even have to supply the content. It's user generated, which means that you don't have to sit there and come up with new answers all the time. You can be the forum master who just, you know, adjudicates what's going on and making sure that people aren't spamming your forum and they're all playing by the rules, playing nicely in the sandbox. But people are running and generating their own content. So that's what a forum is to me.
And I'll give you some really good examples of a couple that we actually were involved in. One of them is on a website that sells olive oil. And what they did is they put a recipe page in. And what that is a forum, a place for people to post olive oil recipes that they love.
Awesome.
So what a very incredibly creative way, because not only do you have recipes, which of course, I don't know about you, but I use recipes quite a bit. I'll go onto a website and I'll find a recipe, and just by default of having to take notes or put the shopping list together or whatever I need, I'm already on there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So just the idea that you can come and find recipes but also share recipes is a great use of thinking really outside the box of
I'm on a recipe site every week. I would say every week, and I would spend I leave it open and I sit there and cook with the computer on the kitchen bench.
That's exactly how I operate.
I think it's a great idea to keep people engaged because I'm following your instructions and I don't want to lose it. I can't shut that computer down because what if I do a step wrong? So I think those sites get at least 20 minutes out of me every time I'm on there. For sure.
Exactly. Here's another concept as well. I love this idea. So there is another site that we're involved with, and they do these webinars on an ongoing basis with just their free members of their website. And they were keeping their forum inside of a closed off area or members only site and weren't getting a lot of use because people had to log in and to engage. So now they've moved it off and onto the live site. And what they're using it as is sort of a round circle, or it's a mastermind group. And it's a place for them to recap what's been discussed in all their webinars very publicly. So each forum post, so to speak, is the what did you learn about the webinar? So it's not only keeping their current fans coming back to post and to share ideas, but it's also selling the value for first-time visitors of what can be accomplished through the calls and being involved as a free member.
Very cool. And it's also a social proof aspect for it too, right?
It's exactly multiple ways. So there are some great, there's great little plugins and things that you can use for forums on your website, especially if you use WordPress. You can install forums directly with the click of a button. And we'll list some of those directly on our website, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast, under this episode and on our business page, or our resources page, I should say, should you be interested in looking at doing your own forums.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. And as we're starting to wrap it up, let's wrap it up with the last little concept that we have for you guys today, which is competitions.
Competitions. So adding competitions to a website, how do we increase our time on website with competitions? You can start. You kick it off.
Sure, because we're actually running one of these as well for somebody. So competitions, of course, are exciting. People want to know what they're all about. How do they get access to it? What do they need to do? And part of that is just by the nature of a competition is there's rules and there's things that somebody needs to follow to enter the competition. So because they're ultimately getting entered into something, they're willing to spend a little bit more time to read about what that competition is all about. So they'll look at the rules, they'll look at what's involved. They'll sit there and upload things if they need to. They'll type things in if they need to. So it's a really great little tool to excite people to actually engage with the content on your website in exchange for a potential win.
I've seen people put a little video teaser about what it is, you know, the prize. So if the prize was a trip to a holiday destination, just a 3-minute video teaser about what it is that you could win. Remember, it's all about keeping people engaged and building their time on your site longer. So if it's a really cool little video, then people are going, wow, I want to see that, I want to go there, I want to do this. They're going to be engaged in that video, and you know, it's achieving that outcome of keeping them on site as long as you can.
So ultimately, when you're thinking about all of these things that we've just talked about, the big overlying question is, what's in it for them? Every one of these points that you're doing, don't just do them to think, oh, yes, I'm going to keep people on my site longer, I'm just going to go create a video. It's really got to be addressing that big question. What's in it for your site's visitor? Are you ultimately giving them value? Because even if you do all this stuff and it's just fluffy, they're still going to leave because you're not actually delivering any value to their life. So that's the key thing to keep in mind when doing this.
Absolutely. Hey, I think that's a pretty good summary of how to keep people on your site longer. It's I think we've covered pretty much all the bases, H.
I think we have as well. I mean, just start, you know, having fun with these guys, just choose one. I think out of all these that we've talked about personally, I think that using video is the easiest way to start, because a lot of you guys will have YouTube channels or you're looking to do YouTube, and you can just easily embed your videos directly on your site. And number two is the blog series concept and plugging in the related posts underneath each of your blog posts. If you do nothing else, those are two very simple ways that you can get started straight away.
Yeah, I want to make just a clarification too. You don't have to be in the video, and you don't even have to create the video to put on your site. You can use any video on YouTube that you want. So if you find a video that's relevant to what you're talking about, even if you don't know who created it, it's still a video that you have access to use on your site, because YouTube give you the embedded code. You can use that, copy that as much as you like, put on your site. If it's a great video that engages people, then use it. Don't go and think you've got to go and buy a camera and all that sort of setup. Use a video that's already been done. Don't need to reinvent the wheel. It will really enhance your time on site just by putting a video on there.
Exactly. Well said. That's a good little piece of information.
On that note, I think we'll wrap up this podcast number 24. I think the next in the series, we're talking about, we're going back to our shopping carts, right?
We are. How to decrease cart abandonment rates. So that's basically the moment where somebody wants to buy something from you, and then they end up not completing the process. So
oh, that's the old going to a supermarket with a trolley full of groceries and then getting to the register and then just running out the door.
Running out the door.
I've got that vision in my head. I love it.
I know, me too.
Hey, I just want to also, one other thing I want to just mention, I'm gonna give a sneak little insight to people that we are running our own little event coming up soon.
We are. We're excited.
We are. We're not going to tell. Not going to tell you too much about it, but just know that we're going to run a live event in Australia in August.
Yes.
And we're going to be just going through. Basically, we're going to be sitting by a fire, having a bit of a chat, fireside chat. We're going to have a few guests come along, and just chat about business, things that are working for us, things that are working for our customers, things that are just you need to know, you should know, and it'll be a lot of fun. I think we've got some really cool things lined up. We'll tell people more about it as the weeks go on, but just wanted to let listeners know right now that if you are in Australia in August, whether you're in Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane at this stage, keep an eye out because we could be headed your way.
And if you don't want to miss out, what you want to do is go to autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. We have a nice little box, opt-in box right at the top there, so you can get updates of our podcast episodes. And if you sign up in there, we'll also tell you as soon as we have dates for those of you that are in Australia.
Yes, yes, yes. And then the idea is to bring it to the US as well. So
absolutely.
Just wanted to tease people with that little bit of information.
We're excited, so you know we when we're excited, we always share it with you guys.
Five subjects. All right, it's lovely talking to you. Look forward to the next podcast on shopping cart abandonment rates. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Hope you got some good information out of it. I loved it as usual.
Yes. Thanks, guys, very much always for your support. And we love, love, love to hear what you think. So if you'd like to share a comment, head on over to our website, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. I feel like I've said that 10 times this episode. And also, please leave us a review in iTunes. It'd be great to have you stop on by and let us know what you think.
Stop on by. All right, people, have a great night and take care. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!